today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
A lot of people want to print their stuff, but a lot of people are just interested in sharing it online. And so like to have those fun little moments, I'm not worried about it being shot on the biggest sensor possible. I'm just worried that we captured the emotion and the fun. And
hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Today, we're learning how trusting your instincts is the best way to make your images stand out. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, a weekly podcast for those who believe that moments matter most and that a beautiful photo is more than just a sum of its settings. A show for those who want to do more with the gear they have to take better photos today. And now, your host, Raymond Hatfield.
Welcome back to this episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. As always, I am your host, Raymond Hatfield, and I am super excited to be here. Today, it's a rainy summer day here in Indianapolis, and I got to tell you, I'm not happy about it. We have been, these past few weeks have been so crazy. We decided to put up a deck last year in our backyard so that we could enjoy some, you know, backyard early morning cups of coffee. Ultimately, we decided not to last year with how volatile everything was. But then this year we decided to do it, and, you know, the price of lumber is just exploded. It is so expensive. So my wife and I decided to take on a very ambitious project to put down our own paver stone patio. And I have to tell you, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work to get done. Yesterday, I had to rent a jackhammer. I don't know if you've ever used a jackhammer, but it's a terrifying experience. Like right as you go to, you know, turn it on for the first time, you don't know if it's just going to like shoot up and then land on your foot and just destroy it. It's terrifying, but I'm happy to say that no destruction was done to any body parts, but just the concrete slab that we had in our backyard. But, you know, it's times like this where it's like when I have a project that I'm working on, I focus 100% of my attention on that, which unfortunately means that for the past few weeks, I haven't really been taking many photos. But obviously, still being able to do these interviews is one way that I continue to keep fresh, keep these skills going. And it gets me excited to so that when I do shoot again, you know, when we're finally done with putting in, I don't know, 3,700 pavers, you know, and I finally pick up the camera again and start taking photos to really give it my all. And, you know, I'm already in it because I'm having these conversations right now and it keeps me up to date. And I know that sometimes it's not always easy to keep walking around and have that camera in your hand. Sometimes you do want to take a break. And today's episode and today's interview really kind of made me feel okay for feeling that sometimes because, as I said, I feel guilty at times that, you know, I'm not taking photos all day, every day. You know, when you have an expensive or a nice camera, you want to take full advantage of it. And when you don't and it just sits there, you know. So I know that you're going to really enjoy this episode, especially if you have been feeling, you know, maybe down about your photography or you haven't been shooting as much as you would like to. I just want to say that obviously continuing to listen to podcasts like this is a fantastic way to keep that going because we do have ebbs and flows, our energy ebbs and flows. And sometimes if we go a while without picking up the camera, it's hard to get back in it. But if you continue to listen to the podcast and, you know, better yourself when you do pick up that camera, you're going to be in a much, much better spot and you're going to be very happy that you did. So, again, today's episode is one of those interviews that I truly learned a lot from this interview. One of the reasons why I started the podcast was just to hear how photographers see the world, right? I want to learn how they see the world. And I think that we uncovered a lot of that with today's guest, Anna Hartvigsen, who she actually was a contestant on a new photography, it's not a game show, reality show, competition show on Hulu, which you can find right now called Exposure, where they have lots of photography competitions and they're judged on, you know, their portfolio and the images that they capture. And they're given a task, you know, to a treatment to go out and capture these things. And then they're judged based on what it was that they captured. So if you're interested in learning anything about that and how that whole process works and how to kind of see your images a little bit more critically, I would say definitely check out the show, as it's going to give you some great ideas as far as like just things to look out for that maybe as a new photographer, you're just kind of not blatantly aware of, you know what I mean? So again, check that out. Really fun, really engaging. You're really going to enjoy this episode. But before we get on into it, I want to share with you one of my favorite photography resources, which is CloudSpot. One of the hardest things for me as a photographer when I first got started was sharing images of my photos. Oftentimes, it would be easy to go out and shoot. I really enjoyed that. I'd come back and edit. I didn't enjoy that as much, but you know, it was still kind of fun. But then when it came time to sharing my photos, I just never did it because there was no easy way to do it. We had a Thanksgiving party at our house, again, years ago, and I took pictures of everybody who was hanging out and having fun, and it was my wife's family. And then afterward, everybody was asking me for the photos, obviously. So I sent them just a link to my Google Drive with all the photos. And I cannot tell you, like, the entire next day, so many questions from all of my wife's family of, like, how do we download this? Like, why does this not look good when I put it on Facebook? The image is so small, like there's no save button because they were looking at it on their phone. Things are just not as easy to do when you're on a phone versus a computer sometimes. And immediately it became clear that like Google Drive is not made for delivering photos. So very quickly I had to find a way to be able to do that. And I've tried several different, you know, image gallery software or, you know, image gallery services for clients over the years, but you know, I guess it's been about a year and a half now that I've been with CloudSpot, and the amount of just the ease in use with CloudSpot has been a no-brainer. Like, I'm going to continue to use CloudSpot for as long as I can imagine because they make it so easy. The galleries look absolutely gorgeous. They integrate with JPEG Mini to reduce your image file sizes. They have what's called grandma-proof downloading of your images. So literally, if you're looking for the easiest way to deliver photos, CloudSpot is it. And what's great is that it is also extremely beautiful and built by other photographers, just for you photographers. And on top of that, they also have a free plan to get you started. Fantastic stuff. So if you want to check out CloudSpot, I highly recommend that you do so. Please stop sending your photos with you know, Google Drive or Dropbox. It's not made for that stuff. It's made for sharing files, not images. Not images. So you can learn more about CloudSpot at cloudspot.io. Again, that's cloudspot.io. You can sign up for a free account, or if you need it for professional uses, then you can sign up for one of their paid accounts, and you can use the promo code BPP60 to get 60 days for free on any plan whatsoever. And again, I truly think that the CloudSpot is one of the best investments that I've made in my business, and I know that it will be for you as well. So again, check that out, cloudspot.io, and use promo code BPP60. All right, so with that, let's go ahead and get on into today's interview with Anna Hartvigsen. Anna, I'm really excited to talk about the experience and the lessons that you learned as one of the eight photographers chosen for Hulu's new photography competition show, Exposed. That had to be an amazing experience, and as I said, really looking forward to talking about that. But first, before we get there, I just really want to know, like, how did you get started in photography in the first place? When did you know that photography was going to play an important role in your life?
So I've always been interested in photography. Going back to high school, there was a photography class. It was super hard to get into, and you had to have a camera, and the cards just never aligned for me to take it at that point. So it wasn't until years later when my third child, who is now 12, was a baby, that I really like kind of invested in my first, you know, nice camera, as I would call it. And so that was kind of like when I really dove in and started trying to learn as much as I could. It's always been like a two steps forward, one step back thing for me, where, you know, it was like doing all this research, trying to do these things, you know, it took a long time for things to click for me, but that was definitely the beginning of the road for me, was way back 12 or so years ago at this point.
So at that point when you bought the camera, it was to document your life, your children's life, them growing up, all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was definitely like a fun mix. I mean, I think anybody that's a parent knows that feeling of wanting to take like, you know, pretty pictures of your kids. And yeah. So it was documenting those moments. It was, you know, getting my girls dressed up and, you know, matching dresses and taking them to the park and taking pictures, you know, taking portraits of them. So just kind of like a whole mix of things to start with that were all very involved around my family.
When you got that first camera, and you know, did you just put it in auto, or did you say to yourself, I'm gonna really learn how to master this thing right away? Or what was that progression like?
I think it was a mix. I mean, I think I started in auto, but I do remember like specifically picking out a camera. It wasn't a DSLR, but it was like a fancy looking point and shoot that you could go in and change the settings on. So I do remember playing around with some of those things and just some basic information. Oh, aperture, you open that wide and, you know, you get a shallow depth of field. So I didn't exactly know what I was doing with it, but I was trying to take advantage of some of those features for sure.
So not knowing what you were doing with all this stuff, surely there was some photos that didn't turn out the way that you had wanted. Like, what would you say was one of the biggest struggles that you faced when first learning photography?
You know, going back to that whole two steps forward, one step back, I think it was, for me, focusing on something. And then because I was focusing so much on that one thing, other areas may have been lacking. So, you know, maybe I was, a photo was blurry. So then I was like, okay, well, my, you know, Google, my, why are my photos blurry? And then talking about shutter speed. So then I would jump in and focus on shutter speed. Well, I didn't realize at the time, like, oh, well, now my ISO is going to be really high. So my photo is going to be grainy. So then I would go look at it and it was grainy. So now I got to try to tackle that. And it was just like this continuous cycle of, you know, trying to combat these things. Like you said, there was definitely some photos that didn't turn out very great. And so then breaking those down and trying to figure out like what went wrong here and taking that from this one specific thing that I was focusing on and being able to like see all of the things that really needed to be fixed and how to make all of those things work together.
Right. That can take a while.
Oh, it takes a while.
Yeah. How long would you say from when you first bought that camera until you, I guess for lack of a better goalpost, like when did you start, how long did it take for you to really feel comfortable shooting in the majority of situations?
Years. I mean, literally years and years. I joined a forum probably around 2014 called Click and Moms. And it's just this like treasure trove of like information. And that was when things really started to click and come together for me. And I would say they have a program called Click Pro that is an invitation only. You have to submit a portfolio to be accepted. And I wasn't accepted into that until 2017. So like literally like 8 years from when I got that first camera until getting accepted into that program is when I think I finally felt like I know what I'm doing. I have a handle on this. I can control lighting. I can control, you know, I can shoot in manual. I'm comfortable walking into most situations. And through those years, you know, there was times that I picked my camera up often and there was times that sat on the shelf for a couple months while other life events were going on. And I think that's kind of part of the growth too, is that, you know, you can, it can be as fast as you want, but you know, don't trust yourself out. There's definitely times that I had to put the camera away for a little bit because I was driving myself batty. So
you mean just because it wasn't doing what it was that you wanted it to do?
Yeah. You know, it's frustrating, you know, it's a learning experience. And so when you, especially like I'm taking my kids out and I have this like image in my head of what these photos are going to look like. And then you get back and it's just nothing worked the way you wanted. And it's hard. And that was a learning curve for me big time was instead of heading out with the intention of shooting a specific thing was stepping back a little bit and letting things kind of unfold and learning how to shoot in this, you know, in the environment, in the situation that is in front of you.
Interesting. Obviously that's, you know, when you have kids, you're kind of put into those situations quite often where it's hard to plan a day and what it is that you're going to get, you know?
Yeah.
In those years leading up to, you said 2017, you were accepted as a Click and Pro, is that right?
Yeah, as a Click Pro, yeah, yeah. And that's, it's the way that you're accepted is you submit, it's 150 image portfolio and it's,
oh wow,
like, yeah, it's huge and it's rated, every photo is rated like against a rubric and it's composition, it's exposure, it's color and saturation, it's creativity. So there's all of these elements that have to go into every single photo and into the portfolio as a whole. So getting that acceptance, you know, was like a huge goal for me, because I was trying to show myself that like I could control what I was doing, what I was shooting. I had kind of an artistic voice, but technically I knew what I was doing as well. So it was, that was a big moment for me.
When was the first time that you submitted your application or your portfolio?
I actually only submitted once.
Oh, really?
And I was accepted that first time. But I worked on that application for probably a year and a half. I'm not going to lie. It was a long, and you know, they offer feedback when you apply. So there are some women that choose to use that feedback, you know, even if they're not accepted. It's kind of a great way just to get a portfolio review. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I know people that have applied multiple times. I know people that applied once. I think I was so, so nervous about not making it that I redid that portfolio over and over and over. And then I think I had like a discount code or something that was going to expire. So I was like, okay, I have to like submit this right now. And so yeah.
Do you think that 2017 was really the first year that you would have been accepted? Or do you think that you could have been accepted maybe a year or two earlier?
I don't know. That's hard to say. I think that was the right time for me to apply and to be accepted. I think even leading up until then, there was a lot of moments that I turned out work that I really loved. And my portfolio really was full of images from the like previous years leading up to that year. But I would say those couple of years before I applied, I would say that like 2000, like when I first got the camera, about like 2009 or so, until probably 2013 or 14 was a lot of like, when I look at those images now, I'm like, ooh, but that was when I really like jumped in. Like I said, I found that forum and there was just so much. If I had a question, I could go ask, you know, there was always tons of answers. And so that was a huge, huge period of growth. I would say I did more growing in that shorter couple of years than I did in the like 5 or 6 years like previous to that. So.
Oh, wow. So when you go back and you look at those photos where you're thinking, ugh. Ugh, let's not let these ones out anymore.
Yeah.
Having the knowledge that you know now, what is it about those photos that that don't live up to your standards?
I mean, just technical, you know, composition and colors is a big one. Everyone loves to like jack up that saturation when they first start. And
oh, yeah.
So like real orangey skin tones, or like when I first learned how to paint effects on like my kids' eyes looked like alien eyes. So that was a real fun period of time. So, you know, it's just the little things. And even in those moments, you know, I can still appreciate what I was trying to do. You know, like I said, it's never something that would make my body of work that I would present to the public now. But, you know, at the time, that was all part of my journey. Those were all steps along the way, you know, to what I was learning. And I'm still not done. I'm still continuously learning. So,
yeah. So just to confirm, kids are not aliens, correct?
They're not aliens.
Good.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
So you mentioned there that, you know, you're still not done learning, that there's more that you want to learn. What is it that you're working on right now, or what's next? Like, where do you want to be in a year from now?
You know, that's a really good question that I'm not sure that I have an answer to. Obviously, I just had this huge opportunity this year, being featured on the reality show Exposure. And I keep telling people, a year ago, I think I would have killed for a successful family photography business. That would be a dream come true at that point. I think now, having had that experience, it's really opened my eyes to the so many avenues that are available through photography. All of the options, all the ways that you can make it, you know, if I want to be a hobbyist or if I want to make it a career. And the truth is that those options were always there. It's up to you to find them, to follow them. But being kind of thrown into that experience and having to shoot these genres and, you know, things that I'd never had the opportunity to shoot before really gave me some food for thought on how I want to proceed. So, I don't know, like I said, the next year, I think I kind of feel like I'm on this path and it's a little blurry. I don't really know where it's going at this exact time, but like, I'm excited to keep walking and keep pushing and keep growing and see where I end up.
I love that. I feel the same way often. It's like, you know, we kind of live in this world where everybody's like, you have to have a plan. You have to know where you're going. And sometimes I just think like, am I the only one who doesn't know like exactly where I'm going to be in a year from now? Like,
I have no idea.
There's something to the magic of just like letting things happen and seeing where you go. So that's very cool. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the opportunity that you had of being, as I said earlier, one of the 8 photographers who was chosen to be on the new photography competition show Exposure. So Can you briefly give me like the premise of the show and how you came about to be selected as one of these 8 photographers?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the show is called Exposure and it is streaming on Hulu. The last episode just came out this week on Monday. So if you haven't seen it, lucky you, you can binge the whole thing right now. and it is a creative competition reality show. So think Project Runway, think, you know, like those cooking shows. I don't watch a lot of reality TV, so I'm going to struggle here to actually name specific ones, but it's that format where, you know, you have challenges, you had a flash challenge and a portfolio challenge every week. Somebody was eliminated and then there was one winner at the end. There's 6 episodes and the kind of twist is that the entire show we shot with Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra phones. So, very heavily rooted in photography. Everything that was judged, you know, it was the same criteria that you would judge any photo. It's lighting, it's composition, it's creativity. But our tool was simply a cell phone.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get chosen or did you apply? How did that work?
There was a casting call out, but I wasn't aware of it. I got an email from a casting director and they kind of told me about the opportunity. I actually thought it was a scam at first. I came home and told my husband, I'm like, yeah, I got this really weird email. And he was like, are you going to email them back? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And he was like, I mean, you could at least hear them out. So I emailed her back and she sent me over some more information and asked if I was interested. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So put in an application, had, you know, interviewed very quickly. And it was actually like kind of like boom, boom, boom. And then just started waiting to hear. And yeah, I got a call that, hey, you know, you've been selected as a finalist, and went out, spent about a month in LA, obviously made it onto the show and filmed. And yeah, it was crazy. It was one of the craziest experiences of my life.
So did you know when, I guess you got that email or when you started to apply that it was all going to be done on a cell phone?
Mm-mm. We had no idea.
Okay, so tell me what your thought process was. Was it like, I have to bring all my gear, I have to prepare, I have to, like, what was going through your head?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to, like, prepare, and you don't know what to expect at all. And they told us, like, you know, you don't have to bring your gear with you. So when we got the phones, I was unfamiliar with the Galaxy. My husband had a note, you know, a year or two ago that I'd played with the camera on a couple times, but I shoot with my cell phone a lot. So I actually was not at all put off by it. I was kind of, I mean, it wasn't that I was like, oh, so, you know, this is so fun. Like, I love my camera too, but I wasn't intimidated by the fact that we were given these phones because I shoot on a phone all the time. And I love it. I actually wrote a magazine article a couple years ago about it. just because as my kids have gotten older, shooting on a phone has kind of, it's just easy. You know, it's like I've carried around diaper bags and stuff for my kids for so many years. And it's freeing to just pull your phone out of your pocket and shoot with it. So I was excited about it.
Yeah. What I'm interested to know, like, cause oftentimes, you know, especially with new photographers, you spend the money on this, you know, this nice camera, you get it. Sometimes obviously it's going to be larger than a phone. And at points you do have to make that decision of like, well, when do I choose the phone to take a photo? And when do I choose the DSLR here? So Do you have like a yes, no type answer for when you would use either or?
I mean, I would never take, I don't think I would ever shoot anything that I did for like a client, or not that I really run like a business, but like if I'm like, you know, taking photos for friends or something, I would never just take my phone and whip that up, be like, here we go, let's get started. But I do like to incorporate shooting on my phone into those sessions. There's a lot of fun things that you can do. You can take short video clips that you can turn into GIFs or GIFs. I don't know how to say that. So work just either one.
Everybody's very split on that. So
yeah, like I don't really know how to say it. So we're just, you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, just like having like different lenses available on the phone, the ultra wides, the telephoto, different effects that you can get easily on the phone. Like it's just fun. A lot of people want to print their stuff, but a lot of people are just interested in sharing it online. And so like to have those fun little moments, I'm not worried about it being shot on the biggest sensor possible. I'm just worried that we captured the emotion and the fun. And so anything outside of that, it's going to weigh depending, you know, what are we doing that day? Where are we going? the past couple of trips, obviously it's been a little while since we went on like a trip, but like my husband and I try to go somewhere once a year for a week or so. And I am usually very intentional about only bringing my phone because, you know, we're there to enjoy ourselves. And the point of the trip isn't for me to bring my camera and set aside all this time. But at the same time, I still want to document as we go. We went to Boston a couple of years ago and it was a busy weekend. We were there for a wedding. That was actually probably the first time I said, like, I'm not bringing my camera. And I just shot the whole weekend on my phone. And then we had like a 2-hour plane ride back home. And it was so cool because by the time I got off the plane, I had culled all my images, edited everything. Like the whole trip was like edited. And I was like home and I was like, wow, this is like so cool. And I could just share the images like whenever I wanted to. So I think it's kind of embracing, you know, I could have very well brought my camera and I could have turned out the same images or better images. You know, I don't know. But the point was that I wasn't worried about turning out like professional level images from that. So I brought my phone. And like on that note, you know, I think it is getting harder and harder. If you know what you're doing as a photographer, it's getting harder to decipher what was shot on what. And I'll refer back to the show. And, you know, there's been naysayers that are like, oh, well, this whole show was shot on phones, it's garbage. But if I'd showed you the images that we created before I told you that we shot them on phones, mm-hmm. would you have known that we shot them on phones? Because I'm gonna wager that your guess is probably no, you wouldn't have had any idea.
Hey, Raymond here, and we will get back to today's interview in just a moment. In today's digital world, knowing how to edit your images is more important than ever. Now, today's top photographers around the world lean into the editing process more of as a maker's mark for their images. Now, you want a style of your own too, but you don't know where to start. That is precisely why I have created 52 free Lightroom presets for you to download right now. Presets are not a one-click solution, you know this, but they are simply the perfect teaching tool to see step-by-step how a look is created so that you can create a unique editing style all of your own as well. So download your 52 free Lightroom presets today over at freephotographypresets.com. Now, back to today's interview. That's amazing how far we've come with technology just in the past few years. Like I remember how excited everybody was back in like 2009. They're like, oh my gosh, like cell phone cameras today are amazing. And now it's like if you were to use, you know, an old phone from 2009, you'd be laughed at. Like these phones are ridiculous.
Right. Where we're at today, like is so much even better. Just the last few years, like the last like 2 to 3 years, the quality of the cameras that are coming on our phones is like it's insane. It's literally insane. So.
Yeah, I love it. I love, as you said, I love kind of blurring that line between like what was taken here, what was taken there. It's fun stuff. So back to the show. Like when you showed up, I want to know what was for you the most challenging aspect of the entire competition as far as the photography angle goes.
I think just. Probably, I mean, I guess I hope this fits into exactly what you're asking, but like self-confidence, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm constantly questioning, you know, how can I improve? How can I get better? Is my stuff good enough? You know, quote, air quotes on that. And so walking into that room and seeing, you know, the 7 other contestants and, you know, it's like, I correlate, you know, like flashy hair and like cool clothes. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are like artists. And like, I'm this mom, you know, from little Erie, PA. And so I think that was like a big one for me was having to step up and like perform and not feel completely out of place. And that's hard when you're under a lot of pressure, you're putting pressure on yourself, you have this time limit. And so I think what it really was I had to step back and really own my skills and what I know. And that ended up paying off, you know, I won't give like spoilers away, but I was really nervous that first episode. I think that was probably my biggest thing was like, please just don't go home first. When if I can get through one episode. And so to like successfully pull off a challenge, relying completely on myself and the skills that I've acquired over the years, just doing things like capturing my family. I've mostly been a hobbyist. And so having to take those things that I've learned, the hours and hours and hours that I've put into, you know, getting better at this craft and then do something that ended up being very successful was like, okay, like I've I've got this. I've got a handle on this. I can trust myself. I know what I'm doing. And that helps me a lot.
Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos. You know, I think if I was in the same position, I would feel exactly the same way. I mean, you walk in, especially now, it's like, you know, I was born in 88, so it's like growing up, I didn't even have like a cell phone in high school until like I was a senior.
Yeah, me either.
You know, and now it's like, but now the 20-year-olds or whatever have had phones their whole life, and I feel like I can look at them and they're just, I mean, obviously not as a whole, this isn't a blanket statement, but there's more creativity, like freely, like maybe it's easier to be creative, like when,
yeah,
when
these tools are more accessible, so
right.
You know,
yeah. So you know, as you were saying that, thank you for trying to for putting together my long convoluted idea into much simpler terms there. And I feel like I would probably also feel pressured to maybe just throw like a Hail Mary pass and do something that maybe I wasn't, that wasn't within my zone of genius in terms of photography. Did you feel like that at all? Or you found it pretty easy to stay true to your style?
Yeah, I did. I was able to really stay true to my style. I think for that first episode, you know, it's like they throw that flash on at you. This is so brand new. There's cameras everywhere. Like you're just like, I was like petrified. I'm sure if you watch it, you'll be like, oh wow, she's terrified. And so I think I was trying to be very like literal at first, like with the challenge that we had. And it wasn't that what I created was bad. It just didn't stand out in any way. So I very quickly figured out like, okay, I need to stay true to what I know, because what I don't have time to do is try something completely different. I don't have time to emulate somebody else. But I also have to throw creativity in there. So how can I do that? How can I bring you over these skills that I'm good at, that I know I'm good at? And then what can I add? So it's kind of like playing it safe in the risky zone. You know, it's like, I've got to be risky enough to stand out, but I also cannot deviate so far from myself that, you know, like I'm very comfortable. I edit in Lightroom and I would never like put it on myself to create something perfectly in camera that I'm like, I'm not going to touch this later. Like I'm not, I don't do Photoshop and stuff. Like that's not really in my, like my area of expertise, you know, but it's like, I shoot knowing that I can like alter colors a little bit. I can, you know, like dodge and burn, and like I can do these tweaks that are going to bring this to life. So how do I take a photo, know that I can use those skills, and then what can I add? Like what's the extra layer, what's the icing on the cake that I can throw on that I'm comfortable doing that is going to make me stand out in this competition?
Do you have an example of what that icing on the cake was? Are we talking editing or are we talking tricks in camera?
I think it just depends on each challenge. So like to talk about the first portfolio challenge, we had to self-portraiture, which we were all terrified of, and then we had to recreate a historical painting. And so for me in that moment, my thought process is, okay, what literal elements, you know, going back to the flash challenge in the episode where we had to, it was a throwback Thursday challenge, we had to recreate a childhood photo of ourselves, and I very literally brought elements over, tried to lay things out, you know, exactly the same as they were in the photo. For that later one, I did want to bring over elements from that photo specifically, you know, hey, this color, this hairstyle, this same composition and pose, those are things that I wanted to bring over. And then the twist that I wanted to add was a play on the name of the painting, which the name of the painting is A Portrait of a Young Woman. And so what I did was, and especially since this was like a cell phone related show, was brought in, I borrowed a phone from another contestant and took a selfie of myself. So I'm like in the same pose with the same lighting. So I lined all these elements up and then added that as a twist to that, like, yeah, hey, here's a modern version of that. And it took me, like, I had to think on it for a couple minutes to think, like, what can I do to make this different? What can I do? And I think there's various elements. I could have made it humorous. I could have done a couple things. But in the end, that I was like, I feel like this is enough to make this stand out, but not so risky that they're going to be like, hey, you didn't quite hit the mark here. There was enough literal elements that I brought over to stay safe. So
that was a fantastic example. That is so great. You know, I try to put myself in that situation, like trying to think, and I would 100% be the person to try to go so overboard that that I would just fall flat on my face. So
yeah,
I'm glad that worked out for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that your photography is going to change or evolve going forward now that the show's over?
Yeah, I think in ways it will. I think knowing that I can always go back to those skills that I've acquired, you know, as my photography changed through the years, as my kids grew up, you know, got older, I very much took on a much more documentary approach. You know, we have our times we go and take portraits and things like that. But overall, I would say if I had to pick like two genres that I really do a lot, it's documentary and it's landscapes and nature. And it's those because documentary is based around my family. You know, if we go to the park, I'm not asking my kids to look and smile at the camera. I'm just going to find a fun, creative way to document that experience that brings it to life for the viewer that they can connect with, you know, a fun angle or a burst of light, something that really draws them in to what is like an ordinary moment. And then landscapes and nature, because I have 5 kids and sometimes I need to just get out and have some time for me. And so that's very much what that is. But I think moving forward, being able to take those elements and things that I've learned shooting those two genres specifically, and then use them to capture other things, whether it's branding and working with businesses using a photojournalistic, you know, documentary approach, or whether it's shooting people, but thinking of like setting up a scene similar to how you would want something to be pretty like in nature, you know? So I think it's kind of like, it's like I said, it's ongoing, and I want to bring elements of who I am and where I come from, what my story is, and then continue to explore like new things with that.
So when I want to go back to talking about the phones real quick, because
okay,
I was just thinking about this. One thing that I'm struggling with now, I tried to do like a 365 last year because I got the Fuji X100V, love it to death, try to bring it everywhere. And I was like, I'm just going to take, you know, photos every day. Didn't work out. Still took a lot of cell phone photos. And then at the end of the year, I compile like a yearbook of all of our family's photos. But I had a hard time organizing both like DSLR and phone photos together. So as somebody, I think you said earlier, maybe it was before we were recording, but you said that you do about half and half. How do you organize all those photos to keep them all? Do you keep them all in one place, or how does that work for you?
I do. So I I edit mostly in Lightroom, and I am a like convert. I started with Classic years ago, but then when the new cloud-based one came out, I switched to that, and I know everyone hates it, so I'm sorry that's my answer, but
I love it.
I totally love it, and like I have it pulled up on my computer right now, but I love that I can get on my phone, I can get on my tablet, like I can jump on anywhere and share those photos. I can upload photos from my DSLR. And I keep calling it DSLR, but it's actually a mirrorless camera. So
right, just,
synonymous. Yeah, but I can upload photos, you know, through my computer or wirelessly or whatever into Lightroom, and then, you know, let that sync, do its thing. And then like that night I can just be like hanging on the couch or whatever, or, you know, if we're driving somewhere, I can, if my husband's driving, like I can just like pull it off my phone and just do some editing. And so it helps for two reasons. A, because all of my photos are in one place. So I'm not like, oh, I'm going to pull these photos from here and these from here. Like everything goes into Lightroom. Like everything gets touched up in there. And also it helps because I use presets. And so to back up a little bit, when I applied for that ClickPro program that I mentioned earlier, I made a rule for myself that I wasn't going to buy a single preset until I was accepted into that program by hand editing everything. So yeah, that was really important. And presets are fun to use and they make my life easier, but that comes from years of experience of really getting to know Lightroom and really hand editing thousands and thousands of photos. And so now I know like when I'm grabbing a preset, you know, like I know what I'm looking for. I could probably achieve that by hand editing. And like the show is a great example. Like I didn't have presets on the show. So like I had to go back. So thank God I had those skills that I had, you know, acquired from years ago. But to go back to keeping things kind of everything together and to have the same kind of like feel to all of your photos, I use the same presets on all of my photos. So I have kind of a general look I go for. I achieve that through various presets because some work in some situations and some don't. But again, years have gone into really knowing like, hey, this is what I want. I can flip through my presets, find one that matches up with that lighting, that tone, that mood, throw it on there, and then I can tweak it, you know, so that it's to my liking. And because of that, if you go on my Instagram, like I said, I don't think at first glance you probably can't tell what I shot with what, because my editing is pretty much standard across the board.
Yeah, that's really important. That's an important distinction there. I think that there's a lot of, I don't want to say misinformation about presets, but there's this idea that like presets are just one click and then you're done.
Right,
from some people, yeah. And then others are like, well, then that's cheating. Like, that's not actual photography. Yeah. But really, I mean, I feel the same way. It's like, if you put in the work, like, it can be a wonderful, like, base for you to either get started.
Absolutely.
Great way to find inspiration. I love that.
Yeah.
I had one last question I thought about shooting on a phone. And that is, you know, we talked about how great that they've become technologically. But there are still, you know, there's still a separation between the two. So when do you find shooting on a phone most challenging? There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear, like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
Probably in low light conditions. But even that is changing. So I would say it's dependent, obviously, if I'm trying to capture like people doing something during low light, like that can be a challenge. And you can conquer that by embracing like motion blur, if that's what you want, you know, but also now we're finding like night mode. I just took a photo recently with my Samsung. I was out at the beach and I had like my camera set up on my tripod and was capturing just the stars and, you know, the sunset. And so towards the end, I didn't even have like a tripod adapter for the phone. I ended up using like some rocks and dirt and like propped the phone up like towards the sky and put it in pro mode and did like a 30-second exposure and ended up getting this like insane picture. Like for my phone, like when I posted it, people were like, you took that on a phone? Like, you know, and it's like, I know the rules here. Like I can't handhold this, you know, whatever. I have to keep it still. And so I would say, like I said, it's definitely low light, but I also feel like that's changing either through being able to do things like that or just embracing. Like I said, I actually really love motion blur intentionally when it's done the right way. So that's like, I'm a big fan of that. And so I think in low light, if, as long as you can, you know, took a picture a couple of years ago, we were down in Pittsburgh and it was like night and there was all these different colored lights kind of like bouncing from businesses onto like the wet sidewalk and people were walking in front of us. So I took this photo and it's like the legs, there's like movement in the people's legs, but then there's like all these colors coming through. Like it just ended up working out really cool. And there's no way that I could have shot that crisp and clear because it would have been so noisy from the ISO being so high, it would have been like unusable. But because I was like, okay, like this would be fun with some movement in it, it totally worked out.
Right. How often would you say that you just pull out the phone and just snap a photo versus pull out the phone and use Pro Mode and intentionally change certain settings?
Probably like 50-50. I always, I'm a big advocate for, like, I tell people, take your safe shot. Like, don't miss out on a moment because you were so worried about adjusting your settings or capturing it super artistically. Like, these are still moments of our lives, of my kids' lives. And I don't want to, like, look back and be like, oh, wow, we had no pictures of that because I couldn't figure out how to get it to work. And then, so we just had no photos. Like, I would rather pull out my phone, take a snapshot, just right in photo mode, have that memory, and then get creative from there. Then go in and enter pro mode. And, you know, again, my kids have phones too. So it's like, it's not even just on me anymore. You're not all my kids, but like my older kids have phones. So like, they're also doing the same thing and documenting. And so sometimes it allows me to kind of be a little bit more creative because I know, like, as a family, we're kind of all documenting these moments, and I'm the one who's allowed to, like, stop and slow down a little bit and get a little bit more creative. And, but it's fun to see my kids do that too, you know? So like, they kind of pick that up for me, I guess.
It's like one of the reasons why I love having a second shooter at a wedding is, like, I just tell them, you just get all the safe shots, like, just, you know, get all those. I'm just going to go over here and do whatever I want. And that's
absolutely,
that can be more fun. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when I was on your website, I was doing a little digging, doing a little searching, wanted to learn as much as I could about you and your photography. It says on your website that your photography is described as clean, intentional, and cerebral. Mm-hmm. Can you break down kind of those elements and how do they go into creating a photo for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, clean, I feel like, overall I want my work, I mean, it, like, I want it to be colorful. I want it to be kind of crisp, clear. I don't want it to feel like too heavy handed with editing. I don't want, you know, I want the colors to feel natural and normal and then presented in a way that's, like, eye-catching and pleasing. And so, like I said, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I'm not, like, lots of noise. I'm not, you know, like, super, like, matte. Like, I just want everything that I present to be presented in this, like, clean, clear, beautiful way, especially because, like, I go back a lot to, like, life's hard. You know, we have, like, a lot of moments in life, and what I don't want is to present it in a fake way. I don't want these moments to feel forced. I don't want them to feel, you know, like, I, like, social media in general has this way of presenting. You know, we always say it's like, oh, it's the highlight reel, right? Like, it's the best of everyone's lives. And, like, then the real part is, like, hidden behind that. And so what I want to do is take these mundane moments and share them that people can look and say, oh yeah, like, I take my kids to the park too. Oh, we go to the beach. You know, I know what that feels like. I know what that moment plays out like. I can see it in my head. And so I don't want to present it in such a way that it's so far away from reality that it feels fake. So I think that's where, like, the clean kind of aspect comes from. Like I said, just keeping things kind of, like, simplified as much as I can. And then
I want to clarify something when it comes to clean. Are we talking within the edit, or is this compositionally? How so?
I think it's kind of like a mixture, like, because I do like to get creative. I like to play, but what I don't want to do is push so far on every element that, like I said, that the photo feels overdone. If it's a very creative, you know, perspective, then my editing might just be kind of, like, simplified and toned down. Or if I'm really bringing those colors to life, really making stuff pop, maybe it's just a very simple, you know, composition and moment. Like, I have photos that are coming to mind as I'm saying this, you know, that are on my Instagram or my website that, like I said, are very, I don't want to push every element so far that at the end it feels like nothing like what I started with. So it's, you know, I shoot, boring center composition, you know, moments. I shoot, you know, stuff that I know as soon as I shoot it, I'm going to flip it in post, you know, or I shoot stuff, like, from crazy angles. So I think knowing, like, when you're shooting, okay, this already has this element of crazy perspective, or it has this element of, like, color that I'm, you know, knowing ahead of time, kind of as I'm shooting. And that's taken years to get to that point of, like, identifying those things as I'm shooting. But I almost always head into the edit, I know sort of what direction I want to go in based on how I shot it to begin with.
Okay. So then what about, let's keep moving on to intentional. What does intentional mean for you?
Intentional for me means that I kind of touched on it a little bit there, but I want things to feel like they have a purpose. Like, I want, whether it's emotion, whether it's color. I have this, like, thing I do in my head where I rank stuff. Like, so, like, I'll kind of look at my photos, and, like I just mentioned, I'll have something in mind that is like the number one, what is the thing about this image that I love? So is it the emotion? Is it, you know, the connection between the subjects? Is it the colors? Is it the lighting? You know, it's like pick an element that's kind of like the star of the show. And then everybody else is like supporting cast. And so it's like, you kind of like rank these, or I rank these things and like by importance. You know, if I shot this image because I was drawn to the light, the last thing I want to do is like worry so much about the colors or composition that like the light element of the photo is lost. Like that was the whole reason I took it. You get what I'm saying? So like,
yeah.
So then I kind of like have this like internal ranking system where I like, what was the intent behind this image? Why did I shoot this image? What drew me to this image? And like I said, that answer can vary. I don't have one thing that I shoot. I like to shoot a lot of things. I like to shoot my kids. I like to shoot flowers. I like to shoot, you know, boring stuff in our house. But there's always an intent and a reason that I was like drawn to capturing that moment, or why I chose to capture it in a certain way. So that's the intent behind it, is what, like I said, what is this, the star of the show, this image, and how do I bring that to life using kind of like supporting elements?
What is the star of the show in this image? Where did you learn this? This isn't something that, you know, this isn't in your first camera manual when you first get a camera. I would say that, you know, typically photographers wouldn't even think about this for years, you know? So where did this come about for you?
I think this is probably a more recent development for me. I don't think... Sorry, there's like really a lot of time. I don't know that it's something... I feel like it's been the last couple of years that it really clicked. Probably when I first started editing that Click Pro portfolio, to be honest, but I don't think that I knew how to put it into words at that point. Why I was doing what I was doing. And that's kind of like the way I found to describe it after some time thinking, is that that's what it is for me. It's deciding, you know, there's lots of moments that I'm drawn to shoot. And so why am I drawn to shoot those? And so I, like I said, I feel like it's been a process for a while, but I think I've really only learned how to put that process into words more recently to kind of get other people to see it from the same way. So
I feel like I try to do something like similar to that, but it's only when something stands out as the star of the show. Very rarely do I ask myself that question all the time, but I think I'm going to try to incorporate that more into my work, because it can only help, right? Like it can only make you
And it's more always intentional. A balance. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like sometimes there's like this huge meme celebrity, but like sometimes it's like a couple things that are going on. And so kind of like ranking those things, like I said, like if it's the light, then like don't lose sight of that. Don't change the lighting in your post editing so much that that element is gone. So
so then let me ask you a question, because I was thinking about a photo that I saw on your Instagram, and it's of a skateboarder foreground. He's out of focus, but in the background is like one of his friends, I believe, watching him skating. So in a situation like that, like when you're taking the photo, is that immediately to you, like, that's the star of the show? Like, his buddy watching him skating is the star of the show here?
So, like, this is, like, really good example of, like, assessing your shooting conditions. And my daughter and I were over in Cleveland for the day, and it was, like, sunset practically. Like, the light was actually really, really low. That we had no, like, direct light at that point. So I was kind of pushing. I shot that on my phone, and I was really pushing it, like, to the max. So the intent started with capturing the skateboarders. And I have like a whole series of those guys skateboarding that I have them in focus. Some will have the guys in the background, some don't. But I think that as I captured those last couple ones and I got in close, I had like, so on the Samsung, you can turn on like tracking. So it'll like focus track. But because I was in so close to them, I know it's cool. Because I was in so close to them, and because the light was low and he was moving so quickly, the phone kind of, it was kind of like a happy accident that it like went and grabbed the guy in the back instead. And so at first I'm like, this is trash, like, you know, but then as I kind of like looked at it longer, cause that's kind of like my mental, what I do is like, I'm trying to now evaluate this image, and some images immediately you're just like, this is nothing. You know what I mean? There's nothing salvageable about this. But with those, with that, like that series, I was kind of like, okay, well, the guys in the back are in focus. Maybe there's something to be done here with one of these. Cause I had probably five or six altogether that I had shot of various skateboarders coming up. And so because of my trying to capture the one guy, in the middle of a trick, I realized that he was like perfectly framing the guy behind him. And so that was when I knew, like, okay, that's the story here. Like, what is going, you know, lay this out, break it down. Like, what's going to draw you in initially? It's the guy doing the trick. But then very quickly you're like, oh, this guy's like blurry. But then you also catch that the clear background shows like perfectly framed, like I think almost in like a triangle shape, which is a huge, you know, eye grabber in photography. His friend in the background. So now it turns from a sports action shot into a storytelling image. And so like being able to break those things down, and especially when you're shooting on the fly like that, like it was, they were strangers. I stopped and was like, hey, can I take some pictures of you? I promise I'm not a weirdo, you know? And so I was already kind of like in a weird situation with it. And then sort of stop and like break down all the images, you know, I never just go in thinking, oh, I'm just going to grab this one. Sometimes I'll shoot things and I'll know like, oh, this is, I'm going to love this. I'm going to go specifically look for this later. But in that moment of like storytelling and documenting, I think being able to like really assess every image and then see, you know, sometimes there are happy accidents, and sometimes the happy accidents are because you set yourself up for that in a sense. And sometimes they just kind of happen, but like embrace those and then learn from them as well. Like that's something that I would shoot ordinarily anyway, say that I had my big camera there, like setting your story up like that to frame and using layers, you know, that's all things that go into to photography. And so, like I said, in that instance, it worked out a little backwards for me, but because I could still identify those elements of the frame and know that that was something that I've used before and I'll use again, it ended up working out really well.
You know, I don't even think that we have to go into the cerebral aspect of your photography, because you pretty much just laid it out right there, the whole thought process. But I guess before I move on, is there anything else to the cerebral aspect that that you do want to touch on?
No, I think, like you said, it really kind of laid a lot of it out. I think those three elements really work well together. And it's just It's kind of knowing your skills, knowing what you're shooting, you know, being able to really just pick apart stuff and, you know, be intentional, be literal, but also be creative at the same time.
Right. Okay. Well, I know that we're getting to the end of our time here, but I want to ask you if you could go back in time, right? 14 years ago, was it 14, 12 years ago when you first got 12 years ago when you first got your camera, if you could tell yourself anything in that moment about photography, obviously, maybe not stocks, just photography, what would it be?
It's probably a super cliche answer, but just to just keep doing what I was doing, because it's because of making those choices, even along the road. I think I had a tendency to question myself, like, why am I doing this? Is it even important? You know, why does it matter? But then really, like, you get years later and you're like, no, like I'm glad I pushed myself. And I'm also glad that I gave myself breaks when I needed it, because I like to pick up hobbies and then like get dropped them really quick. I'm like a serial hobbyist. You know, I'll be like, I'm going to go buy all this yarn to do this, and I'm going to buy this, you know, but this is the one thing that I stuck with. And I think it's because I allowed myself that grace to like put it away when it was frustrating and come back to it. And like, I never stopped exploring it. And just knowing that, like I said, if I took two steps forward and then I took a step backwards, it's okay, because I was going to take two more steps forward. So just keep pushing yourself and be, you know, be open. And that's what I think that I have been, and it's paid off because I've gotten to this point with it. So
yeah, and obviously it's, yeah, as you said, it's paid off. You've gotten quite a bit of recognition. Your photos are, I mean, it's always interesting, you know, when I think about like family photos, I think we as photographers just want to take the best photos possible. And just recently, my mom sent me a box of my dad's like old photos that he had, like from the 70s. And I mean, these things are, it's like trash, right? Like these are just, there's nothing good compositionally, you know, exposure wise in any of these photos. And yet to me, like they mean a lot. Like these are, these are wonderful photos.
Yeah.
And when it comes to like, as a family photographers taking photos of our children, I think that sometimes we put a lot of weight on ourselves as far as like creating the best photo, when at the end of the day, like, I think you said earlier, like, just get the safe shot. You know, it's better to have something than nothing.
Because I have the same thing. I have a basement full of photos from my grandma. My grandma had a disposable camera in her hand 24/7. Like, literally, even up until she passed away a couple years ago, like, she was, like, so upset when, like, Walmart stopped carrying them for a while. I'm like, she always had one. And so, yeah, like, I always say, like, I have this huge gift from her that is my childhood and like parts of my life, like so heavily documented, and they're not perfect. There's, you know, there's some that are just, you know, the colors are weird or the lighting is terrible, but like, it doesn't matter because sentimentally they mean a lot to me. And so, yeah, I do try to remember that when I'm taking pictures of our family and our kids, that not every photo has to be perfect, but like not every photo has to go on Instagram either. You know, like these are just like personal memories. So like, no, find the boundary and make sure that you don't look at photography as a whole as only an artistic creative outlet, and know that like, hey, at the base of it, it still is just here to like document, you know, whatever you want. And so don't be afraid to, yeah, just take photos that don't have to go anywhere, but that you have. So
I don't think that I could have ended it any better than that. Anna, this has been a fantastic chat. For everybody listening who wants to learn more about you and see some of your work online, where can they do so?
Yeah, I am on Instagram. My Instagram username is at Anna Margaret Photos. You can also just look up Anna Hartfixen on Instagram or Facebook. You'll find both my pages. And I also have a website. It's www.annahartfixen.com.
Perfect. Of course, I'm going to link to all those things in the show notes so that if anybody's driving right now, they don't have to stop and pull over, get a post-it note or something.
Try to figure out how to spell that name.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, like I said, I'll put those all in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your wisdom, your expertise, and your experiences, your unique experiences. And I look forward to keeping up with you in the future. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
I told you earlier how much I love to have these types of interviews while I'm, you know, not shooting as much as I am. But what was so cool to hear, I think for me, my biggest takeaway from this episode with Anna was just when you're in a very high pressure situation, which is going to vary for everybody. If you're brand new to photography, maybe the first time somebody steps in front of your camera or asks you to take photos of them, that's going to be your high pressure situation. Years later, it might be you being on a competition game show, but whatever the case is, whenever you're in that high pressure situation, don't do what I said that I would do, which is just throw a Hail Mary pass and just try to do something over the top creative, over the top, you know, inventive and brand new and something that you've never tried before, because you don't have time for that. They clearly asked you for photos for one reason or another, and it's because they liked your work that they saw of yours. So don't try something new. Stick to what you know. And then, you know, maybe experiment 5 or 10% of that. Push yourself just a little bit. But don't try to reinvent the wheel. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. So yeah, I would love to know your biggest takeaway from this episode with Anna. This was such a fun conversation. You can share your biggest takeaway in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook community on Facebook, obviously, which you can find just by searching for Beginner Photography Podcast. You'll find it there. Come on, join in the conversation. And I'd love to have you in there, hang out and share some photos, ask some questions. So that is it. Until next week, get out, shoot as much as you can, stay safe, and I love you all.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.
It was really a lot of interesting stuff. You know, I've realized that maybe I should make some sort of, not schedule, or like a reminder in my calendar that like once a month, maybe the first of the month, to go back through all of the previous month's photos that I took on my phone and put those into Lightroom, because man, at the end of the year, like that's a big job to go through.
It really is. And like the fastest way, so like I think at one point I accidentally set my phone up to like auto import to Lightroom, and then I was like, oh my god, there's so much stuff in here. But then, so like what I'll try to do is go through like quickly and just like or like heart, depending on, I don't even remember what's what now, but like favorite your ones that you think have potential, and then that way you can just go open like the favorites album and then just import whatever is new, so that way you're not taking everything over. I take over much more than I edit, you know, than I end up like finishing editing. But that way, yeah, like I said, I can kind of cut down, not everything goes into Lightroom, but like if I go into Lightroom, like there might be like 5 or 7 images from, you know, a moment, and I'll pick one, and I'm terrible about deleting stuff out of there. So there's just like a ton of photos in there. But yeah, people are like, I love Lightroom because it's a catalog. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, my stuff's just all in there.
It's just a shoebox. It's not a catalog. Yep. Catalog implies some sort of organization. This is just a shoebox.
Yeah.
So can you set up within the app to only bring in favorites?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh, maybe. So you're saying just favorite them and then go into the app and then manually bring them in. I see.
Yeah,
I see.
I don't know. That's a good question because that might be a possibility. I'm just so back and forth right now. Yeah. It's just kind of a mess. But yeah, that would be a really good question because you might be able to do that and that would make your life a lot easier. So then if you favorite something, it just goes in there and it's just there. So
I got to figure that out. For a while, I was trying to use the Photoshop camera or whatever, whatever it was, just so that it would automatically import. But I realized, I was like, I don't want all these photos in here.
No, and that's a problem. Like, then I'll go to Lightroom and I'll have like, and I'm like a chronic overshooter. So like, I already have to like go through, I have to like remind myself to sit down and like delete stuff that I don't want, which is such a huge project and I need to do so bad. But
And it hurts a little bit emotionally too. You're like, because I'm always like,
what if I want this photo? And then I'm like, it's been 4 years and I haven't done it. I'm pretty sure I don't need it, but definitely look into that. But that's a good question, and that helps. I couldn't find the word during that, but like it just helps with cohesion, you know, like I said, to keep everything simplified and like edited the same. And then like I said, when you go to my Instagram, it's not, you're like, oh, that's just a crappy cell phone picture, like you don't know, you know. So